How many of you know someone really annoying on Facebook? How many of you have seen a post or a comment that just turns your stomach? Now, if you're sitting there and thinking, I haven't seen that, I don't see that on Facebook, I want you to know that it might be you. Just saying. We're starting a series called Things Jesus Never Said because sometimes we can find clarity about the things Jesus did say by examining the things that he didn't. Jesus never said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they post. Jesus never said, fool me once and I'll forgive you, fool me twice and I'll give you hemorrhoids. Jesus never said, sorry, you've sinned too much for me to forgive you, I can forgive everyone else, but you really get on my nerves. Let's just take a moment here and thank our gracious and loving God that our sins are freely forgiven. Forgiveness can be a tricky subject, and we'll dig into that more in a second. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus was teaching his famous Sermon on the Mount and teaching us how to pray. And at the end of that prayer, we get a clue about the way we are called to forgive. In verse 9, Jesus says, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." And this next part is really critical. Jesus does not say, forgive us our trespasses, though we're still holding grudges. He doesn't say, I'll forgive you, but you don't have to forgive others. He says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And he goes on in verse 14 to say, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father in heaven will not forgive your sins. These are pretty harsh words from Jesus. He's very clear. If you do not forgive others, God will not forgive you. And this is really challenging because anytime we talk about forgiveness, it creates a lot of emotion, and rightly so. Inevitably, some of you are thinking, you don't know what they did to me. How can you tell me to forgive? There is so much hurt and darkness in this world. Maybe your spouse has cheated on you, or someone you loved and admired let you down. Maybe a friend broke their promise, or someone you loved used you for their benefit and then tossed you aside. Perhaps someone you trusted who was supposed to protect you hurt you instead. Hurt you emotionally, physically, spiritually, or sexually, and you carry those scars to this day. I will not pass over the pain you've experienced. If I'm speaking to you right now, what you experienced was horrible, unfair, wrong, and reprehensible, and that pain is real. So how in the world do you forgive something that seems so unforgivable? Well, we're offered a clue in the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. Right at the top, he starts off, "This then is how you should pray, our Father in heaven." See, God's just not my Father, your Father. God is our Father. Our relationships with our heavenly siblings deeply matters to God. Earlier in that same sermon where Jesus is teaching us to pray, in Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24, Jesus says, "Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift." God says, don't bring me an offering when you're fighting with your siblings, harboring anger and resentment doesn't hurt the person who wronged you. Chances are they don't even know that you're thinking about it. But it does hurt God, and it hurts you. If we live in bitterness and resentment and hatred, then we continue to let the wound stay infected and poison our soul. Now, you might be saying, that's great for you, Ben, but I'm not there yet. I'm still mad. What should I do? And we get a little more advice from that same sermon, where Jesus says, "You've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." This was an extremely litigious culture Jesus was talking to. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth were the laws of the land. If you hurt me, then I get to hurt you back. But Jesus shows up and says to pray for those people who hurt you. You might not feel like praying, and if you wait until you feel like it, you might be waiting a long time. Take action. At first, they may not be prayers that you're proud of. Continue to lift up that person who hurt you in prayer. Your prayer may or may not change others, but it always changes you. It always changes you. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, Paul writes, "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. God forgave us of our sins freely, and we are called to forgive in the same way." I love the Greek word used here for forgiveness because it literally translates to hurl it away, not sweep it under the rug or pretend that it never happened, but to hurl the hate and the anger and the bitterness from your hearts. There's an amazing quote from Pastor Andy Stanley, and he says, "In the shadow of my hurt, forgiveness feels like a decision to reward my enemy. But in the shadow of the cross, forgiveness is merely a gift from one undeserving soul to another." We don't deserve forgiveness. We didn't earn it. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. How many homes would be healed if fathers and sons, mothers and daughters wrapped their arms around each other and forgave? How many marriages could be saved? How many friendships could find healing? How many of you could be free from the prison of bitterness and resentment? Forgiveness is the key that unlocks that door. God wasn't being mean or callous when telling us to forgive people that wronged us. God wants us to be whole. Forgiveness empowers you to set the prisoner free. You realize that the prisoner was you. Let's pray. God, I pray that you could soften our hearts. God, I pray that you would create in us a spirit that allows us to lift up in prayer those who have wronged us. God, when we start, those prayers may be ugly. They may be wrong, God. But God, we commit to lifting them up to you. Pray that you would change our hearts as we work to forgive the people that have wronged us in our lives. And God, some of those wrongs are awful. Some of that pain is deep. Those wounds unhealed, God. But I know that our prayers have the power to change our hearts. They may not change the people we're praying for, but they will change us, God. So I pray that you would create in us a spirit of forgiveness. Give us the power to relinquish the hate, and the bitterness, and the resentment, and give that to you, God. We thank you for your forgiveness freely given for us. In Jesus' name I pray.